Does Jesus heal people? Well, you read the gospel accounts of his life, and it sure seems like he does. So, who did he heal and why? And why does he heal some people and not others? Not sure I have all those answers, but, well, let's take a look at one healing, the time he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at miraculous healing from a different perspective. Does God still heal people today? Well, does he? Heard a funny man, Mark Lowry, who used to be part of Bill Gaither's quartet of singers, talking on this DVD of a Gaither concert a while back. As I recall, the point Mark was making was that so many people are out there promising so many different things about healing. They're promising that everyone can be healed. But the facts that Mark set out were these. One out of every one people is going to die unless Jesus comes back first. We're all going to die. At some point, my body is going to stop functioning and give up my spirit, just as yours is. Of course, Jesus may return before then. I hope he does. But he may not. He may have another time planned for that. Now, that puts all these unrealistic promises about healing into perspective. We live in a fallen, sinful world where everyone is going to die one day sooner or later. So if God healed everyone, would we all die? The other mistake, though, that I think we can make is this. We can behave as though God is no longer in the healing business. We can behave as though no healing takes place at all. And that isn't true either. The very first time I ever prayed for someone to be healed, this was an older woman who had knee problems. I avoided her for weeks. I felt so embarrassed. Anyhow, she eventually corners me at church and said, "You know, after you prayed for me, my knees were healed. You could have knocked me over with a feather." So, what's the truth about healing? Let's have a look. Today we're continuing on in our series that I've called A Day at the Office with Jesus. We're in Luke's gospel account of Jesus' life and ministry. And I guess through his account, we're kind of tagging along behind Jesus just to see what he went through and how he reacted and what he's like. You see, it's so easy for Jesus to be this distant figure in the pages of some stuffy old book. Point is, he's not. He's risen. He's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's passionately interested in my life and your life, and he wants to make a difference. So it seems to me that it can make an enormous amount of sense to discover what he's like. For the reality of Jesus to become the overriding reality of our lives, don't you think? And today we're continuing on in Luke chapter 4, which is where we've been all week so far, just looking at each story of what Jesus did. So here we are. Jesus has been kicked out of his hometown Nazareth for claiming to be the Messiah. They actually try to kill him. He's gone down to Capernaum, the hometown of some of his disciples, which becomes his base of operations in his early ministry. He's cast a demon out of a man, and now after preaching and casting out this demon, pretty exhausting time of ministry, he comes to the home of Simon Peter, one of his disciples. Let's have a listen to what happens. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 38. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and she began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. Now, at this point, Jesus hasn't yet chosen the 12 disciples. That comes a little later, and we'll have a look at how he did that next week. The word disciple means to be a follower or a learner. Back then, there were scribes who would start their own kind of following halfway between a church and a Bible college, and some were more prestigious than others. So people would pick the one they wanted to follow because they liked his theology or because they thought the prestige of hanging out with him and some of his beautiful people in that group would help them in their business or whatever, and they would become disciples of that particular scribe. and follow him and all the rules he invented on top of the scriptures so that they could work their way into the kingdom of heaven. That's called religion. It's not what God wanted, but it's how people lived. So here is this amazing preacher, Jesus. He not only speaks with power and authority and amazes people with his godly wisdom that makes a real difference in their lives. He's casting out demons. He's healing people. So a whole bunch of people just started following him. It wasn't long before he started drawing crowds of many thousands of people. Don't you think the other scribes loved him for that? Not. So Jesus is just visiting this guy's house, Simon Peter, who one day in the not too distant future is going to become one of the 12 disciples, the inner circle of leaders in the Jesus flock of followers. And right there, a need presents itself. I guess they were going to Pete's place for a feed and a bit of a rest from the crowds, a bit of solitude. Imagine poor old Pete. He tells his family this morning, hey, you know this rock star, Rabbi Jesus, who everyone's talking about? He's coming over for dinner. So cook something really special. And he finally gets home with Jesus at the end of a hard day's ministry, walks in the front door expecting to smell some nice dinner, and there's silence. No food cooking. His mother-in-law is sick in bed. Fantastic. My one time to impress Jesus, and this woman has to get sick. What a blow. We're not told any of that, of course, in the text, but put yourself in Peter's shoes. It was all about impressing the rabbi so you might end up as one of his inner circle. That's how things worked back then. And Jesus leans over Peter's mother-in-law, rebukes the fever, and immediately she gets up and cooks them a meal. Immediately. Have you ever had a high fever? It's completely debilitating. I remember having one on a Saturday and a Sunday. I was supposed to preach on the Sunday, and unbeknown to me, it was the one morning that the woman who is now my wife would be visiting our church from interstate. If I hadn't fronted that morning, we wouldn't have met and we wouldn't be married. Pretty life-changing. Saturday, I could barely get up off the bed. Sunday morning came and I was leading worship and preaching, or supposed to. It's an hour and a half on my feet, and I could barely stand up. So I dressed myself slowly. Somehow I just knew God wanted me up there that day. I had no idea why, and I drove ever so slowly up the hill to the church building. I was slumped in a chair in our pastor's office when one of the women in the church came and laid hands on me. Kim was her name, and I felt the fever leave me. I led worship, I preached, I met Jackie, and the rest, as they say, is history. Jesus can heal. He did back then. He does today. But here's the thing. He didn't heal everyone back then. We're going to see that on the program tomorrow. There was such great need, but not everyone was healed. Not everyone had demons cast out of them. God is sovereign. God chooses. Invariably, he heals people for a reason. Sometimes it's obvious to us. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes he lets people die who we think should live, and he heals people who we consider don't deserve it. Point is, God is sovereign, and he chooses whom he will heal and whom he won't. That's the truth. And we see it in this story that healing brings such great glory to God. It draws people to Jesus. Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law with a specific purpose. Would we choose the same people as Jesus to heal? Probably not. But then again, very fortunately, we're not him. And you know, my hunch is the main game is drawing glory to God. Go. I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh Devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? that web address again in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.